This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I think we have something very special indeed for you today because there's so much talk these days about low-carb diets. In fact, a form of low-carb diet that's attracting a lot of attention is the ketogenic diet. Today we're going to talk to an expert. She, together with a colleague, has written a book entitled The Ketogenic Kitchen. And while we've had previous podcasts that look into the theory behind ketogenic diet, why it might be beneficial, an example of which is our discussion with Dr. Thomas Seyfried recently. He's advanced the theory that cancer is a metabolic disease and that it can be tamed via carbohydrate restriction, switching the body's machinery to fat metabolism via ketogenic diet. This program is going to be a little more nuts and bolts. It's going to actually provide you with tools for how you can begin to undertake your own ketogenic personal science fair project and explore the potential of this this very powerful dietary tool. So with us today is Patricia Daly. Patricia is someone who is an experienced nutritional therapist. She's an author specializing in cancer care and now focusing specifically on the ketogenic diet. She's worked with hundreds of cancer patients in Ireland and abroad. That's where this conversation originates from. She's speaking to us. Are you in Dublin?
Yeah, I'm based in Dublin exactly at the moment.
Okay. So we're reaching out internationally to her. She lectures at the Irish Institute of Nutrition and Health, and she's a speaker at conferences and in cancer centers. The Ketogenic Kitchen is her first print collaboration along with co-author Dominique Kemp. And so welcome, Patricia. It's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Yeah, it's a great honor. Thanks so much for having me.
It is indeed a pleasure. So how did you get launched on this project? This is actually, there was some personal nexus for this as well. You had a bit of a health crisis and you found the ketogenic diet an important adjunct to your healing program.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I was diagnosed with a very rare form of eye cancer with a choroidal melanoma. So it's a tumor sitting inside the eyeball, basically. And it was a pretty large tumor. It took over most of my eyeball. And I went, in 2008, I went for radiotherapy straight away. So 3 weeks after diagnosis, I went over to Liverpool because it's such a rare form of cancer that at the time there was no treatment available that they wanted to do with me, the plaque radiotherapy in Ireland. So I went over to the UK. I did my treatment. Everything went great. The tumor responded well. And so everybody was happy. I then really immediately looked into ways of helping myself. And I'm actually Swiss. I grew up in Switzerland. And for me, complementary and alternative medicine is something I grew up with. It's enshrined in the constitution in Switzerland. So it's very important to most people and still now. Obviously, it's not just some traditional aspect in Switzerland. And so for me, the first step was, okay, how can I help myself? I'm not just giving up any kind of control. I'm doing my conventional treatments, but I want to do my own thing. And that's how I started studying nutrition. Pretty much about 3 weeks after finishing radiotherapy, I dived in. And then, unfortunately, only about 20 months later, I was diagnosed with a relapse. And that was that was a real downer. Not only did I have a baby at the time who was 6 months old, I really thought I had done everything right.
Yeah.
You know, I had made a lot of changes to my diet, my lifestyle.
So you were on a conventionally healthy diet. In other words, you're eating lots of, I imagine, you know, with a Swiss background, you're eating muesli and lots of fresh fruit and, it was a low fat diet, presumably, because meat is often implicated in the causation of cancer. So perhaps you were following that kind of program.
That's exactly it. Yeah, I even considered going over to do the Gerson therapy. So I did lots of juicing. I did lots of whole grains and, as you said, you know, lots of fruit. And, you know, I was a triathlete. I competed internationally when I was a teenager and
as am I, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Fabulous. Yeah. So yeah, for me, you know, the famous carb loading, which Tim Noakes doesn't advocate anymore, but at the time that's what I did. And, so that's what I was used to. I was convinced that that was healthy. And then I started, when I had the relapse, I really started to properly dive into everything and anything I could find. And I came across Dr. Johannes Koy's work and also Ulrike Kammer in Germany. And that's how I first got in touch with the ketogenic diet. And although they don't really call it that way, but it's very much what I started then implementing in 2012 when my consultant said, look, there really isn't much I can do at the moment. What I can offer you is Avastin injection, so angiogenesis inhibitor, regular injections into the eye, or we can just take the eye out. And for me, I was, is there a third option somewhere? And that was really, none of it was very appealing to me at the time. And that's when I was at the tipping point. I was really, you know, pushed to the edge, and that's when I decided to just go for it and implement what I had learned. I had really studied the subject intensely beforehand, and I started implementing, and we really, and I think that's the interesting thing about my tumor, it is handy because it's in the eye, so you can actually look at it.
It's easily observable. You don't have to do that. You can just look through the pupil of the eye, and you can see whether it's responding or not responding to whatever therapy you're undergoing.
Exactly. You dilate the pupil, and there's also, you can do ocular CTs. You can do photographs. There's lots of things you can do to actually get a picture. So it's not as invasive as with any, you know, most other tumors. And my consultant saw pretty much straight, you know, after 4 or 5 weeks, because I was monitored very strictly at the time, because he literally gave me a bit of a grace period. And he said, wow, it's the first visible sign was angiogenesis really reduced drastically. Mm-hmm. So the growth of new blood vessels that fed the tumor. And then also generally I had so many side effects from treatments as well, you know, cataracts and radiotherapy related macular degeneration, retinopathy, you know, all these side effects that they responded really well to the ketogenic diet. And really since then, I mean, that's 2012 now, the tumor has been incredibly stable. I also had a tumor outside the eye when I had the relapse. So it had spread, which really scared me. And, that tumor completely disappeared. It didn't respond to the radiotherapy at all. It just stayed exactly the same size. They measured it before and after. And, even 2 years after, it was still the same size. And then I had a CT scan there, last year. And it was a bit forgotten about, to be honest. They forgot to monitor it. And I sort of, it was more by coincidence that I realized, oh, they hadn't actually monitored that, and it's completely gone.
That is really impressive.
So yeah. That's very nice as well. Yeah, exactly.
So I know that you're not a scientist, because we've had this long discussion with Dr. Thomas Seyfried and others on intelligent medicine. But can you explain the rationale, just in layman's terms for this diet for cancer? What's it actually doing? What's the aim of a ketogenic diet?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the one misleading thing, or things that people always hear, and that a lot of cancer societies, especially in Ireland, always deny, is when you say, oh, sugar feeds cancer. And I think it's definitely an oversimplification, but fact is, you know, tumor cells, and that goes back to the Warburg effect. So I'm sure Dominic or Tom talked about that. You know, and it's also in, it's a recognized hallmark of cancer these days that most tumors are glycolytic, so they very much heavily depend on glucose. And that's one of the first sort of steps or the first aspects of the ketogenic diet, that obviously if you do lower your carbohydrate intake and you implement a low carb and ketogenic diet properly, then you will have a drop in blood glucose in most people. I mean, there are a few exceptions, but in most people, you see that fairly quickly. And in some people, it's a massive drop, actually. Mm-hmm. And what it brings with it in, you know, most people as well, is then, you know, the reliance on insulin. And I think that's more important than the whole sugar or glucose. Insulin really has so much to do. We just have more and more papers now showing and confirming the link between insulin-like growth factor and cancer growth. So that's the other thing. And then ketone bodies themselves, and again, that's Dom D'Agostino, he's a total expert in that, are very much believed to be an anti-cancer agent. So they act on inflammasomes, for instance. So ketogenic diet tends to be very anti-inflammatory, which is obviously something we really want for cancer patients, because anybody who has a tumor, inflammation tends to go hand in hand with cancer. And in my case, and also it was very nicely visible, angiogenesis. And that is huge. That's one of the hallmarks as well of cancer. So as soon as a tumor reaches a certain size, it has to look for more food. And it basically does that by sending out VEGF, for instance, vascular endothelial growth factors, to nearby blood vessels, and then attracts nearby blood vessels to feed it and to really make sure it can proliferate and the cancer cells can grow. And and then obviously metastasize, that's the big problem as well. Once angiogenesis is happening, the risk of metastasis, so the spreading of cancer cells to other parts of the body, then drastically increases. So that's something that a ketogenic diet acts upon as well. We also now know that in terms of epigenetics, so gene expression, that it acts favorably as well, the ketogenic diet, on, you know, how we express our genes as a cancer patient. So these are a few examples only. I mean, there's there's so many pathways that are affected by the ketogenic diet, that it's fascinating, really. And it's always made sense to me immediately. And especially also with Tom's, you know, all his nice nuclear, the transfer experiments, I think they're mind blowing, and I just get very excited when I
yes,
see
indeed.
These experiments, and really turning things on its head in the cancer world.
Yeah, so there's a very good explanation of the rationale for cancer. Of course, it's complicated, and it involves all kinds of molecular biology and an understanding of the energy pathways within cells, but let's not get into the weeds. The book is geared to some extent to cancer patients, but actually there might be other reasons for people to undertake a ketogenic diet, such as for neurological diseases, and also just simply as a expedient towards weight loss, maybe cholesterol optimization, reducing the risk of heart disease and diabetes, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have a little section in our book that shows where is the evidence pretty strong now. So in, as you say, in cardiovascular disease, so, you know, improved blood lipids, is one of the most important things. And this sometimes doesn't happen immediately. So some people get very nervous when initially their blood lipids go a little bit all over the place. But that's usually in the first phase of, you know, entropy, when there's a lot of chaos, the body actually has to adapt to, or the cells have to adapt to a different kind of energy production. So that can initially, for some people, obviously, be a bit of a transition zone where things are not out of control, but for instance, LDL can go up temporarily. But in my experience, it comes down nicely. And, you know, the triglyceride HDL ratio, they tend to vastly improve in a lot of people. So that's obviously from a cardiovascular risk perspective, that's very encouraging, but also for, yeah, as you said, weight loss. So there are some nice studies, also long-term studies, that show it can be highly effective. And again, you know, there's no one perfect diet for everyone. But if somebody does come for weight loss with me, and I look at, you know, the blood lipids as well, or the blood, recent blood tests, and, you know, a ketogenic diet is very indicated, then I definitely, that's the first port of call, low carb, and just see how that person gets on with that. And diabetes is obviously, another important one. And, you know, especially type 2 diabetes, but there's also some type 1 diabetics who, under very strict supervision, mm-hmm. Go on a low carb or even ketogenic diet, although that's not always necessary. And then also epilepsy is obviously why we're all here. And I'm so grateful that there are, you know, RCTs, so randomized controlled trials, that show us that a ketogenic diet is safe. I think that safety mm-hmm. records that we have, this phase 2, that we know it is safe to implement in humans, and we don't have to have any concerns there. So that is obviously, for us in the cancer world, that is something that is extremely valuable, to have all the data from the world of epilepsy. And the evidence there, obviously, is strongest for all the different applications.
Right. Yeah, let's speak to that a little bit, because actually the ketogenic diet was originally used for kids with refractory epilepsy who just did not respond to any type of medication. And how might it have a beneficial effect on the brain, and then maybe with applications to other neurological diseases?
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, just last week, actually, there's it's a preclinical study into autism and the ketogenic diet as well. So they even go, and research that area. But then there's also Alzheimer's, Parkinson, and especially, brain injury as well, you know, brain trauma. So
traumatic brain injury.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, there's Dominic D'Agostino would be the absolute expert in that way. They obviously from all his work with the army, they have a lot of data from that. And I think that's, again, that's fascinating. And especially with Alzheimer's, again, there's a few experts that are really heavily involved in the research. So Stephen Cunane, for instance, I follow his research a lot into, you know, brain and the ketogenic diet. So there's a lot going on at the moment, and it's very encouraging that, you know, really proper trials are being set up now, and especially in cancer. Adrian Cech is doing absolutely brilliant work as well, apart from Dominic D'Agostino and his team, and Tom mm-hmm. Seyfried. And then there's Colin Champ, who works a lot as well with Rainer Clement, who again works also with Ulrike Kammerer in Germany. So it's sort of, the circle is closing for me. So the people I started following from the very beginning, they're still here as well, and I'm in regular contact with them. And what they research, especially for the ketogenic diet alongside conventional treatment, is absolutely fascinating.
Right. So some people might have a sense that this is, you know, something like the Atkins diet, or that it's a high protein diet, that it's basically you just eat meat all day, and little else, you know, like a kind of caveman diet. We're eating a brontosaurus steak and mastodon meat all day long. Can you correct some of these misperceptions?
Yeah, I mean, if you look through our book, and again, this very much depends on the person, but for me, vegetables are a huge part of the ketogenic diet. And I think fiber is something that, if somebody tolerates it well, it should absolutely be part of a ketogenic diet, and it doesn't impact blood sugars. And so having lots of, especially green leafy vegetables, is totally doable on a ketogenic diet. And instead of, you know, sausages or steak or whatever you see on the Atkins diet, I very much go for organ meat. That's my, if I do have meat, that's my preferred source.
Such as? Kidneys, heart, liver?
Liver, kidneys, yeah, heart. I can get heart actually very close by here where I live. And once a week I go and I can get it, and I just mix it in with some other meat, or for myself, I just have it as such. But if I cook for somebody else, I have to sneak it in.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've never tried brain, but I know somebody who is on a ketogenic diet who is eating brain as well. And, you know, it's, yeah, whatever you really get access to in terms of, you know, really good quality. Obviously, I only go for organic when I go for organ meat and incredibly fresh. But I do feel it's, you know, it's like a natural multivitamin and mineral. There's so much in terms of nutrients in organ meat, and then I supplement that also with fish. I have quite a lot of fish in addition to the vegetables. I do eat eggs as well. I have very little dairy. Again, I do look out for foods that can be quite insulinogenic as well. Because I had cancer, so I just got into that habit. I mean, it is quite a while ago now, but I'm still trying to really reduce the impact of insulin as much as I can. So, you know, dairy can be a bit more insulinogenic than other foods, and so I'm trying to really look into that as well.
Okay, so that's a pretty good introduction to the rationale for the diet, and you've given us some basic outlines, but we want to get into particulars so our listeners know we divide these podcasts into two parts. The book is The Ketogenic Kitchen, and we're talking to a cancer survivor and nutrition educator, Patricia Daly, who with Dominie Kemp is co-author of The Ketogenic Kitchen. When we return, we'll talk about some of the practical factors in implementing this kind of program. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.